Waiting is not a waste of time. We ended last week with a bit of scandal. Joseph had been thrown into jail after being accused falsely of trying to get it on with his boss's wife. His boss was Potiphar, and Potiphar's boss was Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. So not a guy you'd want to upset. And we know that there were at least three of them in jail. Pharaoh's chief cupbearer, a really high-powered butler to you and me. Pharaoh's baker, that's a baker to you and me. And Joseph. And the cupbearer and the baker had these funny dreams, and Joseph had interpreted them. And Joseph told them that the cupbearer would be released from jail and get his old job back, and that the baker would be released from jail and be hanged. And that's exactly what happened. And when the cupbearer was due to leave jail, Joseph had a word in his ear. He said, "When you get out, will you remember me and put in a good word about me to Pharaoh?" But chapter 41, verse 1 tells us that for a full 2 years after the cupbearer left, Joseph heard nothing. What disappointment. 2 long, miserable years of nothing happening. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, about 2 long, miserable years of nothing happening. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? But actually it is, because God used those miserable nothingness years in an amazing way that should be an encouragement to us all. See, Joseph's story of disappointment, unfair treatment, abandonment, and waiting probably resonates with us all at some level. Maybe someone has betrayed you. You've been made redundant. You've become ill. Your skills and experience are no longer required. You've lost someone close to you. Or perhaps someone closer to you is ill and it makes you feel really isolated. You may have had bad experiences in the past of family, work, or even of church. Maybe untrue accusations have been made, or perhaps your life has taken an unanticipated change of direction. You're not sure where God wants you to go next. And you just feel that you're waiting. And you don't even know what for. We've pretty much all had some sort of experience of abandonment, disappointment, unfair treatment, where life is out of our control and there seems to be this endless waiting. And that's where Joseph is in today's part of the story. He's in jail, waiting. He's been obedient to God. He has not given in to sexual temptation from the probably very alluring but very married Potiphar, wife of Potiphar. That would be a new scandal. In the past, he's used his brilliant mind to faithfully serve his boss. And yet now, through false accusations, he's in prison, mistreated, forgotten, and waiting. How could God let this happen? Have you asked the question about things in your life? Because I certainly have. And the answer for Joseph was not that God had abandoned and forgotten him, though that's how it might have felt, but that God was still with him and was at work in his life, dealing not with the externals of his life, the circumstances, not at that time, but dealing with the internals. What was going on inside? His character. We know that Joseph was handsome, that he was smart intellectually, and that according to the song, he was a walking work of art. And that might have made him attractive and given him the skills and gifts to be a leader. But God wanted more. He wanted a leader of character that he could trust, a leader whose own ego would not get in the way of him serving God. And this dreamer knew that he had a special destiny. And yet, here he was in prison, apparently forgotten, unable to serve God out there, using the enormous talents, abilities, and engaging personality that God had given him. And I'm sure at times that he would have felt like he was just going to pop. You know, so much potential just bursting to get out. His heart would have been breaking. He was human after all. And his big chance of getting out of jail through the cupbearer putting in a good word, it seemed to have passed. And in those 2 years since the cupbearer left, nothing appeared to be happening. But God was with him, working in here, inside, in his life. Joseph was a work in progress, a work of art still being sculpted. And Lynn read to us earlier about a man in the Bible called Job who had all sorts of horrendous things happen to him. He was stripped of everything that mattered to him. But Job still sought to keep his heart attitude right before God. And he said this, "He, God, knows the way I take. When my trial is over, I shall come forth as gold." He did not say, "When my trial is over, I'll get everything back that I lost, and everybody who hurt me will say sorry." You see, God often deals with what's going on in here before he deals with what's going on out there. And the Lord has promised Joseph, Job, and us that if we keep our heart attitude right before him, keep focused on him, that when we get through this, we will come forth as gold. And then we'll be ready to handle whatever opportunities he has planned for us. If we allow it, our struggles can be the making of a man or woman of God. So during my time, your time, or Joseph's time in the pit and obscurity, maybe externally nothing appears to be happening, but perhaps a whole lot is happening. Internally, we are being strengthened, established, refined into pure gold. If only we keep our focus on God. It's in the nothingness times that the rubbish from our lives is stripped away, that our faith learns to grip God's hand ever more tightly, and our vision starts to clear. It's in the nothingness years that Joseph was shaped for greatness, for a significant future. And as for Joseph, He was waiting in jail. And when God's time came to get him out, it all happened very quickly. After a long period in which God seemed to have done nothing, everything suddenly came together. Pharaoh had a disturbing dream that he knew wasn't just a dream. He asked his advisors what it meant, but they couldn't explain it. And suddenly, the chief cupbearer, as if a light bulb's come on in his brain, he remembers Joseph and the promise he'd made to him. 2 years late, the cupbearer tells Pharaoh that Joseph has a gift of interpreting dreams. And immediately, Pharaoh summons Joseph. Joseph's chains are released and Joseph's lifted out of the pit. Joseph shaves, I like that detail, and he changes his clothes so that he can appear before the mighty Pharaoh. Can you picture the scene? It's Joseph's big moment in court. He's there, smart, handsome, possibly a little bit pale after his times in the cells, and maybe a bit skinny, I don't know. But the mighty Pharaoh, who gave the order for him to be put in prison for an act he did not commit, is there pleading with Joseph, "Explain the meaning of my dream." And so Joseph's standing there in the royal palace with this golden opportunity to shine, to prove himself, to start to redress the unfairness, to get his own back. And how does he use his big moment? He says, "I cannot do it. I don't have the answers. But I serve a God who can and does." How could Joseph be so humble, so lacking in resentment, blame, and bitterness? He'd been sold into slavery by his own flesh and blood and been in jail for years for something he never did. I suggest it's because he'd had his heart broken. He'd been tried and tested in the fire of affliction. His external circumstances had been so unbearable that his internal condition, his character, had been tried, tested, and turned into pure gold. See, because of his humility, God was able to use Joseph to explain that Pharaoh's dream is a prophecy about a soon-to-come bumper harvest that would be followed by years of famine. Joseph says, "This is what is going to happen. There will be a famine." But he also says that this is what you can do about it. He suggests that Pharaoh gets someone in to oversee the planning, the food storage, and the food distribution. And note here that he did not manipulate the situation for his own ends. He didn't say, "Hey, Pharaoh, I think I'd be rather good at that job, and don't you think you owe it to me?" See, Joseph had learned in his time of abandonment, his time of obscurity, to let the Lord have it his way, in his time, for his purposes. He had let go of selfish ambition. He refused to promote himself, and he would only let God do it. But that day, Joseph found himself promoted to the top spot in the land with only King Pharaoh ranking over him. And this was all in one afternoon. From the pit of the prison to the pinnacle of Prime Minister of Egypt, the number two spot in the land to whom all but Pharaoh should bow the knee. It's not quite like that with prime ministers in the UK, is it? We don't all have to bow the knee to David Cameron or to Nick Clegg. I won't make any political comment there, but that's how it was in Egypt. Can you imagine as well how that would look to outsiders? He would have looked like some overnight flash-in-the-pan success. There might have been resentment and suspicion at having to bow to the knee to this young foreigner, this Israelite. What they would not have seen was the making of a man of God over the 30 years of his life. Joseph had been appointed, chosen, prepared, and refined into gold by the Lord Almighty. He might have had all the gifts and talents for leadership years before, but until that time, he had not been ready for that level of leadership because he didn't yet have the quality of character required. You only need to look at the damage that can be done when talented leaders, especially church leaders, fall from grace to see why God is so keen on developing character. Godly character is God's primary interest in Joseph's life and his primary interest in our lives, whether or not we're going to be leaders or not. And it often takes time and trials to develop. The suffering that Satan had sought to use to destroy Joseph's potential, God had used to release it. Now, I don't know for sure what might have been going on in Joseph's head that afternoon, but I am sure that he would have been thanking God for all the things that God had taught him over those years. Now, a question for you. Do we want to be great for God? Do we want to be great for God? Yes. And I'm not asking whether we want high position in the human sense. I mean, do we want to be fully available to God, allowing him to shape us to be all that he created us to be? That's true greatness. That's true success in God's economy. The master craftsman, God, who created us, wants nothing more than that we should trust him with every part of our lives so that he can finish sculpting you and me at his precious works of art, his precious new creation. Hebrews 12:2 that we read right at the start says, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Are you prepared to trust your life so completely to the master craftsman that he can finish what he has started in you? It demands that we trust him with simply everything we are and everything that we have. Is that really too much for us? Because if it is, let's ask for courage. Satan will tell us we don't need to completely turn everything over to Christ. He will try and tell us that we can do just a little bit of house cleaning and things will be fine. Satan longs for us to stand up and do stuff in our own strength so that maybe we get a bit of the credit. But don't listen to those lies. They prevent us from having the relationship with God that he desires, that we have been created for. Is this church prepared to be great for God? If it is, it follows from the story of Joseph that we must be prepared not just to do a little house cleaning, but to let God do the deep cleaning that goes into every nook, cranny, and pore. And we can trust him with that. He's God, God. But it's not always comfortable. We need his courage. I may have said this at Southwoodham Evangelical before, but when I have a big tidy at home. Please don't come round when I'm doing that. But when I have a big tidy at home, things always seem to get more untidy before they start to look presentable. Yep, I can see people nodding. You pull stuff out of the drawers and the cupboards and you sort it through. Work surfaces, maybe even floor, get covered with clothes or tins of knickknacks or whatever. You might wash some of it, bin some of it, clean out the drawer or the cupboard. And then you can start to put it back into some sort of order. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, maybe if things sometimes get a bit messy, a bit uncomfortable in your life, or in the life of the church, maybe it's a sign that God is at work, going through the cupboards, pulling stuff out, sorting it through and deep cleaning every nook and cranny so that he can put things back in his order. It'll take time for us to see just what's going on. But he is God, and he can be trusted. But I believe that God wants to deal with the internals, the character of the church, before he deals with the externals. And the reason that he might do that here at South Woodham Evangelical is precisely because, as with Joseph, he sees so much potential, so many gifts, talents and opportunities, that he wants to shape our potential, shape our character for greatness, so that we, his people, can be used for his greatest glory. So that what Satan would seek to use to destroy the potential of this church, God can use to release it. What an honour, therefore, to be in a place where things might get a bit messy from time to time, but where God just might be at work crafting the South Woodham Evangelical masterpiece. In conclusion, then, Joseph learnt that a broken and contrite heart is not the end, but the beginning. He discovered that God had never left his side. When the affliction ended, he came forth as gold. He had become a person of greater stability, deeper qualities, more profound character. And God's promises are just as much for us individually and as a church today as they were for Joseph. The promises tell us, it's worth it. Walk with me, trust me, wait with me. I will reward you for that waiting time. Your gold is being refined. My grace is still at work in your life. And my tender mercies are there to accompany you for the whole of your life. God is with us just as he was with Joseph. If we let God turn what Satan intends for our harm into his opportunities, and if we take the God-given opportunities that God may put before us, waiting need not be a waste of time. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, waiting will not be a waste of time. Let us, like Joseph today, decide that we will let the Lord have it his way, in his time, for his purposes. Waiting is not a waste of time. Amen.